afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with my guest host today, Dave Allen, and we're going to bring you our commentary today for Monday, June 24th, 2019. Good afternoon, Dave.
Hey, happy Monday, Melody.
Happy Monday to you, and... yeah, but we're having little computer issues here, but everything is still rolling along, ladies and gentlemen. You know, you get these little snags every now and then. Ain't technology grand. But something that is grand today is gold. Gold has had a very nice run today, $20 today. We actually had a high of 1420.70. Currently, just a few cents off the high, 1930 on the uptick, $1,419.30. Silver was up 9 cents today at 1551. Platinum was up 5 at 817. And palladium was up 35 at 1544. USDX today was down 0.20 at 96.01. Crude oil was up 40 cents at 57.83. Stock market today, the Dow was up 10 points, 26,728. The NASDAQ was down 26 at 8,005. The S&P was down 5 at 2,945. 10-year yield, that's also lower, 2.02%. Gold futures, let's see what contract that is, 1422.90. I think it's August. I think it's August contract. Yes, August contract was reading 1422.50. And let's see if there's anything else interesting going on. Well, there's a lot of things interesting. Foreign markets were pretty flat over the weekend and today. Let's see if there's anything massive going on. Bitcoin. I was watching the morning news this morning, Dave. I was watching Bloomberg, and they brought up Bitcoin. 11,000. 11,000? It was just 3,000 3 weeks ago. So, and again, ladies and gentlemen, if you have it, my gosh, get out. If you bought it at 2,000, 3,000, why wouldn't you get out now? It's just... but they're going to wait and see if it goes back to 20,000. And how many do you think is going to dump at 20,000? Nobody, because they believe that it's going to go higher than that. So, and that's where everybody gets in trouble. It's human nature. They count on it. They manipulate you on it. And so it makes it, but you get your heart pumping. It's like going to the casino. And, you know, it's, you know, you win a little and they take a little. And at the end of the day, guess who really wins out? They do. They always get more than you do, but it's a fun game to play. What else is we have going on, Dave? We have the big news. I'm not sure this is what's putting pressure on the dollar. I don't think it is. You have there were more sanctions placed on the Iranians today. Particularly on Iran's supreme leader, the Ayatollah Khamenei, and 8 senior military commanders. It's a provocative step designed to increase pressure on the country. President Trump told reporters at the White House that the penalties would deny Khamenei and his office access to financial resources. The U.S. is already sanctioning a significant portion of Iran's economy, including oil, banks, steel, and so again, these sanctions today are seen as largely symbolic. And of course, President Trump could still hit Iran's central bank with secondary sanctions at the risk of hurting the humanitarian trade. I did hear an interesting report on this today, and you know, and it was for President Trump's decisions, what he did in handling this. But it was also said that what he needs to do now is say to the Iranians, you know, hey, if you want to come to the table, let's reinstate the initial deal, but let's change it. Let's work on it. And this is what I would rather have happened. And so to just a little bit eliminate the tensions, Dave.
Yeah, you know, That's an interesting strategy. I'm not sure it works because of the involvement of the other nations that are part of the JCPOA, but you know, we do know that more than 80% of Iran's economy is now under sanction. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is in Saudi Arabia and the UAE to put together some kind of coalition against Iran. The new sanctions placed on Khomeini today will be a further effort to ensure that, you know, Iran's capacity not only to grow their economy but to evade sanctions becomes more and more difficult. Pompeo said that. Tensions have spiked in the Gulf since May when the U.S. revoked waivers on the import of Iranian oil. Now, that action alone has squeezed the Iranian economy a year after the U.S. walked away from the 2015 deal that was meant to prevent Iran from developing a nuclear weapon. Since then, a bunch of attacks on oil tankers near the Strait of Hormuz shipping choke point have raised the specter of war and pushed up oil prices. The U.S. has blamed the attacks on Tehran, which, of course, has denied any wrongdoing.
Of course. Of course. I guess the U.S. and China are finalizing arrangements for the meeting between the two presidents on the Group of 20 summit at the end of the week. Beijing warned about consequences of American trade measures. China's Vice Commerce Minister Wang Shuwan told a news briefing today, compromise will be on both sides. It will be a two-way street, adding that any talks must be based on respect for each other's sovereignty. The face-to-face meeting between the leaders will be closely watched, and we know that the talks have broke down last month after Trump had accused China of reneging on its commitments, and then the tariffs were risen on China's imports, Dave.
Yeah, 25% whammo. Although the U.S. has taken steps to ease tensions in recent days, you know, postponing a planned speech by the vice president, criticizing Chinese rights, mounting disputes have, you know, softened expectation for a trade breakthrough, particularly this week at the G20. Now, Trump and Xi reportedly plan to discuss a range of shared issues in Japan. That's according to an assistant minister of foreign affairs who talked about a briefing on Xi Jinping's plans in Osaka at the G20. Chinese officials also called on the U.S. to roll back restrictions on Huawei and other technology firms and refrain from weighing in on the recent unrest in Hong Kong. Wang, the commercial ministry official, argued that blocking Chinese companies, including Huawei, from buying U.S. software and components also harms the interest of American firms, and restricting exports doesn't help to balance trade. China hoped the U.S. would remove its companies from the entity list. We shall see. It'll be very interesting to see what plays out in the coming days.
It certainly will. Well, there was another warning of a recession from the UBS. They said that the global recession is just a step away, just one itty-bitty baby step away from recessions as the world's two largest economies, of course, China and U.S., are heading into this G20 meeting. While escalation is what UBS expects, it believes that a failed meeting between the two will result in a new wave of tariffs, and that could mean the major changes to the global GDP and market forecast. You know, you're going to have major changes between the global GDP and market forecast regardless of whether they come up with the meeting or not. It's just a matter of, I guess, maybe a little sooner than later, perhaps. So, you know, if this continues, if this trade war continues to escalate, the UBS estimates global growth will be 75 basis points lower over the next six quarters. And I think this is a big part of why we also backed off the deal with Iran. I think this trade spat is to the point of making impacts on economies. In addition to, I mean, I believe the economies were having their, you know, own issues anyway, but this is just a double whammy. And we know the relationship, you know, between China and Iran and Russia and so forth. So I kind of think that maybe the settling of President Trump's attacks on Iran is, again, also this is a big part of it.
You know, UBS says this, the cumulative reduction in U.S. GDP would be about 1% over six quarters, a little over 1% in China and little less than that in Europe. But further aggravation of the trade conflict could push global equities down 20%. You know, with prior U.S. outperformance relative to Europe eroding, and emerging markets in particular taking a big hit. UBS added that all major central banks would be forced to ease their monetary policy, with the Federal Reserve compelled to cut interest rates by 100 basis points, one percentage point, on top of an expected 50 basis point cut next month. Such a push would pressure the yield on the benchmark 10-year Treasury note below its record low of 1.3%, and then it's teetering on breaking below 2% as we speak, Melody. It's getting closer and closer and closer. Yield curve is inverted already with the 3-month Treasury bill. Look at the 2 and 5 year. Gosh, they're in the ones and already, you know, a growing a distance apart from that 30-day Treasury bill. So, yeah, hey, we believe it's another sign of the coming gold and silver rush, ladies and gentlemen. More on that later.
This is kind of interesting. I don't know what it. I don't know how big of an impact it has. Except President Erdogan, I believe, is continuing to lose his power over Turkey. And Turkey is a big player in what's going on in the Middle East and so forth. And but his opposition candidate, Ekrem İmamoğlu. Close enough. We'll just call him Ekrem. I got
there
that
go.
One down. I got that one down. We'll just
like
we're on first name basis.
Ek.
So yeah, hey Ek. Opposition candidate Ek won the redo of the Istanbul mayor's race by 9 percentage points, handing President Erdogan and his AK party a major humiliation. And also not to mention that it's a huge political defeat. The original vote in March had been overturned by after Erdogan's ruling party narrowly lost. But with the delivery of Russia's S-400 missile defense system to Turkey, expected to start as early as the 1st of July, investors are bracing for the U.S. to reprimand its NATO allies. So, you know, it's kind of interesting to see, you know, how these players are really beginning to ramp up and really begin to think about, I guess, their own countries. 1 month risk reversals on the dollar lira pair. The premium traders pay for options to sell the local currency over those to buy, and that also fell for a fourth day.
Well, Turkey's lira, Melody, erased its gain as the prospect of U.S. sanctions over the country's planned purchase of the Russian system took the shine off of yesterday's landslide opposition victory. You know, one London strategist said, apart from fixing the economy, Erdogan must find a solution to the diplomatic conflict with the U.S. over the S-400 to avoid sanctions. The leader of Erdogan's, key governing ally, Devlet Bahçeli of the Nationalists' MHP party, dismissed the prospect of an early national election, helping to remove another element of uncertainty for some traders. Erdogan has reportedly accepted the outcome of Sunday's election, that's big, but has hinted the new mayor could run into legal problems, whatever that means. The lira has lost over 8% of its value this year, the worst performer in emerging markets after the Argentine peso. And I will say, you know, according to the World Gold Council, you know, Turkey is one of the top, I think, 5, 6, or 7 countries in the world whose central banks have been buying up a lot of gold in the past year. We know in the first quarter, you know, it's the largest purchase in reserves, you know, in 6 years. So, you know, along about, particularly, you know, how, depending on how tough these sanctions on Turkey are that the U.S. may place on them, you know, could have an interesting impact on at least the supply of gold that could come back in the market, depending on how bad, you know, Turkey's economy does become as a result. Melody.
Well, you know, this kind of cracks me up. You know, now, not only are we promising free college for everyone, let's just eliminate all that past debt. You know, we're talking about $1.6 trillion. Let's just take it off the books and see where that gets us. And again, these are all symptoms of just how pathetic this country is. And not just, I mean, it just boggles the mind. And again, this is all about votes, ladies and gentlemen. It's all about votes. It's all about getting elected. And it is funny, you know. Dave, do you remember that Saturday Night Live skit? I can't remember who it was. It was, you know, what was it, Steve Martin, the one and wild and crazy guy?
Oh, you know, Steve Martin and Danny Aykroyd, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, with their shaking and their, yeah.
They're walking to the door. You're
an old time classic.
But that was when Saturday Night Live used to be funny. And but now Bernie Sanders falls under that category. We'll just eliminate the one and wild guy. He's just a crazy guy. And so he's the one that's proposing the nation's $1.6 trillion outstanding. $1.6 trillion of student debt. And, of course, he wants to tax other people to pay for other people's debt. It doesn't work that way. And it shouldn't work that way. And we shouldn't agree to it. We shouldn't have taxpayers pay for other people's debt. I mean, hello. But the plan includes a 0.5% tax on stock transactions, a 0.1% tax on bond trades, and a 0.005 tax on derivative transactions. If they want to tax anything, what they should do, forget the stocks, forget the bonds, because they're in people's retirement accounts. How about just doing a huge tax on derivatives? Because that's what screws up everything else. But anyway... Don't get me you got me fired up on this one, Dave. I was going to be nice, calm, mellow.
Well, I'm surprised. I'm surprised at Sanders. I would have thought that it might have been just the other way around. That, as you said, big tax on derivative transactions. They're so dysfunctional, so dangerous. They've gotten us in trouble before. They will again.
Yep, absolutely. And we're in trouble now because we're heading into a break. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Gentlemen, you're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. And let's take a peek at gold, see what it's doing now. We're still at the 20-buck level, ladies and gentlemen. We're selling 1 ounce American Gold Eagles, $30 over spot. You can't beat the price. $30 over spot. Price is rising. And I know all of you are saying, well, I'm going to wait for it to have a pullback. Yeah, well, when's it going to have a pullback? At 1500 and it pulls back 30, still higher than what today's price is. And I didn't do a comparison with the $20 gold pieces in relationship to spot gold. I will do that here this week, just to see where in relationship we'll let gold rise a little bit more to see what type of impact, but it'll give us a good idea of what the rest of the nation is doing. And but a great move in gold today, 1419, 1420. Let's just round that puppy out, 1420. If you want gold eagles, 1450. And of course, silver eagles, they're beginning to, you know, creep up slowly. But they're still going upward, ladies and gentlemen. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Dave? Where are we going from here?
Well, whatever your pleasure. There's a lot going on today. We could talk a little bit more about that speculative Bitcoin trading again.
I
would just caution, you know, just be careful. I mean, there are two followers of this. One guy, Whitney Tilson, says that, you know, Bitcoin's exhibit A in the lexicon of scams that enrich insiders at the expense of average folks like you and me. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, it's your money. Invest it wisely for the long term. Call a Discount Gold and Silver Trading instead. Melody has some excellent specials right now, and it's a much better investment particularly for the long term.
Yeah, this is nothing but, you know, as he said, he says this is nothing but a dead cat bounce. He says a year from now it's going to be a lot lower. He says this is the ultimate pump and dump scheme, and that's what I think so too. And you're right, Dave. It's the guy out there who thinks he's going to be able to turn his, you know, $30,000 into, you know, $2 million. Those things just don't happen on a large scale. You know, only those are things that, you know, the guys that really got rich on Bitcoin are the ones that bought when it was $100. That was the, you know, like all schemes, you know, it's the bottom floor when you get in on these schemes that makes you wealthy, not when the thing is already taken off. It's, you know, but it's human nature. These scams happen time and time time again. They're reported on time and time and time again. And there's always one that's born in order to let these... They wouldn't happen if people weren't so easily manipulated to get into these programs. You wouldn't have scams. Why do you think
No, go ahead.
Why do you think we're warned on a daily basis about, oh, you don't want to do that call because it's a scam? I mean, there's so many scams out there. Why?
I have a friend who I used to work with, younger than I am. He bought Bitcoin last year. He was one of those people who bought it when it was really low. He was smart enough to sell it when it was, I think he got a return of 10 times on his dollar. And he made a lot of money. Now, certainly not enough to retire. But he's right now traveling the world. I just saw a post from China where he and his partner are right now. But the interesting thing, Melody, is you want to know where virtually all of those proceeds from his, we'll call them his gambling winnings, are now? In gold.
Yeah.
He saw the light. He thought, well, I was lucky. You know, it might have gone up a little bit more after he got out, but he ain't getting back in. I think he's one of those who feel the luck of his speculative gamble. If you're in, get out, ladies and gentlemen, for yourselves and especially for your family.
That's, you know what, Dave? It's just not Bitcoin. It's a stock market. I mean, it's reaching record highs. Why wouldn't anybody take their profits? It's just, it's gambling. And that's what you do when you're a gambler. Well, unless you're, I guess you're an addict, a gambler. I don't know, what do you call it? A gambler addict or whatever they're called?
Greedy, maybe.
Greedy when you're actually addicted to gambling. But most people should pull out your profit. And but they don't, because everybody always thinks it's going higher. And you got all the scammers there, the pumpers that want to get your money in there so they can dump theirs. They're encouraging you to do it and promising you, you know, there's all kinds of returns on the other side, and you know, you'll come across that there really is gold at the end of the rainbow. Well, I've seen the end of the rainbow. I didn't see any gold, but anyway, you know, nothing is free in this world. Everybody's so against, you know, and the same conservative people are against Bernie Sanders, you know, wanting to give free school, free this, free that, and all I hear all the time, nothing in this life is free. So why do you go into these, you know, so why do you think these, you know, you're going to go in and you're going to put a couple bucks down on something and you know, make these huge windfalls? I mean, it doesn't happen. Because you have to work for your money, because nothing is free. It just doesn't, life doesn't work that way for most of us. Does for those that get lucky, like Dave's friend, but not, you know.
Well, yeah, you know, too big to fail banks. Looks like it's a better year for them, at least in terms of passing Federal Reserve stress tests, Melody.
Well, let's pat them on the back. You know, and again, you know, yeah, they are told that they're in far better condition now before the crisis. And, you know, they all pass the adverse scenario stress test, the feds. The report estimates that the U.S. banks would lose $410 billion if there were another severe global recession, but they would maintain enough capital to keep lending to companies and individuals. That's, I mean, that statement is just
absurd, insulting.
It's like, But you know what? Who believe? I guess there's a lot of people that believe it. 18 of the country's largest bank, of course, all passed the first round. And this is after they lowered the standards of these tests, but they don't tell you that. The U.S. The Fed figures show that the U.S. financial services industry is well enough capitalized to weather a worst-case scenario economic downturn. They have no idea even what a worst-case scenario economic downturn, because nothing is going to weather that. Wondering how terrifying the adverse scenario is? From their definitions, it's certainly a big drop, but expectations that it will all be forgotten in a couple of years seems a little ambitious.
Yeah, you know, Randall Quarles, who's the vice chair of the Fed's banking oversight committee, said that the results confirm that our financial system remains resilient. He says the nation's largest banks are significantly stronger than before the crisis. To support the economy even after a severe shock. You know, if that's so true, I wonder why the Fed abandoned its normalization of its balance sheet, Melody. Well, that's another story. We'll get to that in the third segment a little bit. But, you know, as Bloomberg reports, the results so far show that banks are maybe getting better at coping with what's become one of the more rigorous supervisory efforts since the financial crisis, when they brought the nation and help bring the world to its knees. You know, they have maintained, and these are now in terms of the standards established by the Fed, the Bankers Bank. They've maintained a common equity Tier 1 ratio that was double the regulatory minimum, even at the depths of the tested theoretical recession. Now, lenders have been building capital for years, and while this year's exam was harsher on credit card loans, trading losses were reported down from last year at four of the five biggest Wall Street firms. This is what they'd have us believe.
You know, what's funny is, why shouldn't they be able to meet the stress test? First, they get bailed out by the taxpayers. Then you have all their regulations basically eliminated, so they can make all kinds of profit. I mean, their profits last year were up, what, 44% or something ridiculous, Dave?
Yeah.
So why shouldn't they be able to, like, they you know, and what's funny is the scenario that they describe, this is a global recession, but with the U.S. unemployment rate rising to 10%, accompanied by a large decline in real estate prices and elevated stress in corporate loan markets. And they're basing it on 2008. Because that's basically the definition of 2008. 10% unemployment, large decline in real estate prices, and we had a lot of stress in the corporate loan markets. That one is going to kill us, but I think it's more about the corporate loan markets and this time around. But we didn't have $22 trillion plus dollars in debt at that time. I mean, it's so much worse now than it was, Dave. But anyway.
Well, the telling, you know, number for me is that since 2009, the common equity capital at the 18 banks studied this time has increased by almost $700 billion. You know, and these people have the nerve, because they're allowed to charge interest rates upward of 27% on credit card debt that's outstanding. I mean, let's not get into, you know, into that whole debate about, you know, whether people should, you know, even have credit card debt. But, you know, for many, far too many, it's a necessity. It's the only way they get through the month. You know, capital's critical to banks and the financial system overall and the economy, because it acts as a cushion to absorb losses and helps to ensure that losses are borne, now listen to this, by shareholders and not the general public. Say what? Didn't happen like that last time. sure as heck would be surprised when it happens again if it doesn't get bailed out in a similar way. Now, except as Melody said, there just might not be the money. Well, she wouldn't even use the word might to bail out the system next time. But pretty scary stuff in my mind. And just the what I call sheer propaganda of the Fed on behalf of its member banks.
Yep.
It is impressive.
It is.
They have an unwitting audience, most of whom just feel they have to take their word for it because there's got to be some kind of implicit trust in the financial system of your country. But in reality, it's another story altogether.
Yeah, they have to create this illusion that everything is fine because they couldn't continue. I mean, where do you think we'd be? And the worst thing they ever did was to bail us out of half the things back in 2008. They should have just let everything, let it come to the reality of where it should be and grow from there. We'd be so, we'd still have a fiat dollar, perhaps. Gold prices are still going to rise, but it wouldn't be as painful as it's going to be. And the denial of the propaganda and the belief that these things are going to be turned around and that we've got someone, guiding the ship that knows how to work debt. I mean, think about it, ladies and gentlemen. We were putting... What's wrong with that picture, Dave? I mean, it's all out of balance.
Let us count the ways.
But anyway, that's another program, and I want to get to this one. We have more retail news. Friends. It's a discounter. They've announced its third round of store closures. So they're going to be closing an additional 49 stores, and with going out of business sales underway as of Friday, the pharmacies and the locations will remain open. Oh, yeah, of course, there's a lot of profit there in those pharmacies. This is Fred's third round of store closing since April. The chain has announced the closure of a total of 263 stores during the past 2 months, after the combined 313 closures representing 56% of the company. So they're only going to be left with about 244 stores. And Fred said its decision to close additional underperforming stores follows a continued evaluation, including historical and recent store performance and the timing of the lease expirations.
Well, for you fast food fans, we'll just brief you on this as we're going to go in to a break at any second. In a predictable yet alarming development, the person taking your order at McDonald's in the future might not be a person at all. McDonald's is testing voice-activated order taking in its drive-thru as part of a broad initiative to improve the customer experience inside of its restaurants. Tell that to the people who are making $7.25 an hour, maybe $10. Currently helping you as they try to get by.
And that's what happens. But that's what happens. That's what happens when you push a $15 minimum wage. So we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% 10% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold. Give us a call, and you can have one or 100 at that price. If you buy 100, we might even help you out a little bit more. But you have to give us a call. Get rid of that paper and get some real money, because you're going to need it in the very near future. We're going to talk a little bit about gold now, and certainly gold is beginning to come into the mainstream media reporting, and even Citigroup is saying that it's looking for gold to see in the next year, $1,500 to $1,600 an ounce. I think it's going to be much higher than that, but they're talking about that under a bullish case scenario that includes borrowing costs falling below a zero. I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, if borrowing costs fall below zero, this is when you will see 3,000 gold and 5,000 gold. Forget their little $1,500 to $1,600. It's like, who are they kidding? But, you know, seeing this strength in gold today, even as we've seen, you know, a little bit of pressure coming off of Iran, there was U.S. existing home sales topped estimates, and the tensions with Iran dialed down. So we're still seeing some good moves with even just a little drop that we've seen in the dollar. I mean, we haven't seen anything there yet, too. So, but the sentiment is changing, and that's what we needed, Dave. And that's what you wrote about in today's article, is about gold and silver. And, of course, you're writing comes from the view of the Fed more so than some of the other impacts that we might see. But as what Citibank says, the borrowing rates are going into negative yielding bonds. So tell us more about that.
Yeah, well, this angle is consistent with that Citibank perspective. You know, as we know now, I mean, gold and silver have had a good year to date. They've had a good quarter, month, and week, too. Gold's up 10.1%, 9.1%, 8.8%, and 4.9% over those four increments. Silver's up 3.9% year to date. 2.3% for the quarter, 5.2% for the month, and 4.1% for the week. You know, those positive trends continued over the weekend from Friday at 5 p.m. through late Sunday night. Gold was up another $9 to $14.08, while silver climbed another few cents to $15.41. And that's how we began another, what I'm sure is going to be an adventurous week. Today proves that out, as Melody mentioned at the top of the show. Gold and silver both up big time again today. You know, so this is a week that's going to feature continuing geopolitical and economic volatility if nothing else, owing to issues ranging from our response to Iran's takedown of an unmanned U.S. drone to the announced private meetings in Japan between Trump and Xi to talk about the trade war, and Trump's apparent meeting, upcoming meeting there with Russia's Putin to discuss God knows what. Meanwhile, the precious metals and paper markets are certainly going to have their wide and ever skeptical and overhyped eyes and ears on the Fed and other central banks around the world to look for further hints about interest rates and quantitative easing. You know, some clues to that could come as early as tomorrow. That's when Fed governors Williams, Bostic, Powell, and Bullard are scheduled to give speeches separately. And later in the week, new figures on various aspects of the of our economy, you know, could foretell future further movements in the precious metal and paper markets. First quarter GDP revisions come on Thursday. Probably not any big, if any, changes there. But we got personal income, core inflation, and consumer sentiment released on Friday as well.
We know that they signaled last Wednesday that they could start cutting rates, you know, as late as July. What comes next?
Well, that's a good question. Mm-hmm. You know, whether the increase in July is going to be, you know, 0.25% or 0.5%, or, you know, even stay the same, which I believe is now very unlikely. But let's not forget about the Fed's other option. It could end quantitative tightening, a reduction in its balance sheet, but ahead of schedule, a move some economists think would, you know, add further stimulus to the U.S. economy. Earlier this year, the Fed indicated it would end its balance sheet reduction process by the end of September. Some analysts now suggest ending that process faster would keep monetary conditions looser, as more liquidity would remain in the system. Now, that would also, or could also, I should say, help the Fed delay a recession. I don't even think the Fed is, I mean, the Fed is typically more likely to cast us into a recession than not. But with this quantitative tightening, you know, it could delay it for a couple of months, especially together with rate cuts. Could also lead to even more gains for stocks in the short run. And that's the Fed's primary goal these days.
Yeah.
But the good news is it would also likely further propel gold and silver prices upward. And that's definitely not one of their goals. You know, Joe Kalish of Ned Davis Research said it would be harder for the Fed to explain why they were cutting rates and letting the balance sheet continue to run off. He believes that'd be like, you know, hitting the gas pedal and the brakes at the same time.
Well, you know, they had that massive war chest of $4.5 trillion in treasuries and mortgage-backed securities after the financial crisis. And, of course, it's, you know, it's all to stimulate the economy, and just as all these other countries and central banks are doing. We saw them drawing down those assets on a monthly basis. I think they did it a couple, you know, what, four times in 2018. So what's next?
Well, who knows, Melody? I mean, I don't even think, you know, less than a month, well, a little over a month, actually, month and 4 days that the Fed knows the answer to that. But we do know that the Fed reversed course earlier this year after a string of weak economic data and, you know, these growing trade tensions between the, you know, the U.S. and our key partners, China and Mexico. You know, the Fed had lowered its interest rate forecast from two hikes to zero prior to its policy meeting last week. And then on Wednesday, the Fed opened the door for rate cuts starting sometime this year, soon, maybe next month. It's nuts.
Well, you know, I go back to thinking when they started doing the cuts, doing the rate increases, it was, well, we have to raise them so we can cut them.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's great financial planning.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, it's, I don't know. It's, I guess to some degree you could say it's like saving up for that rainy day. But then on the other hand, you're already so deep in debt. There is no, you know, it's, I don't know. It's just bizarre.
Yeah, who knows? Impact it's going to have.
But the Fed also said it's going to act appropriately. Of course, they had to promise the markets that they will accommodate to continue this economic expansion. And that's a big question there. Exactly what is the economic expansion? And but the thing, as you mentioned just a little bit ago in this report, is, you know, record-setting stock market is their main priority.
Well, you hit it right on the head, Melody. And you've said a lot over the last year that words matter. Words matter sometimes as much as, if not more than, actions when it comes to the Fed. More and more economists believe that that last statement, their reference to "we will act as appropriate to sustain the expansion," that could be the real clue. For investors, that the Fed's going to end its balance sheet reduction process earlier than September. One in particular, Jan Hatzius of Goldman Sachs, one of our least favorite, actually, you know, he added that that type of comment usually foretells policy action imminent. You know, he said, in fact, "our reading of the Fed meeting suggests that growth concerns are the primary justification, with low inflation lowering the hurdle required for Fed action."
But will a rate cut further the paper market rally?
Yeah.
Should it?
Well, I mean, investors seem to think that a Fed rate cut will cause an automatic rally in the stock market. Some, like UPS, on the other hand, believe that such a move would do little to lift that market. In fact, one of their strategists says when it comes to U.S. stocks, you know, the so-called Fed put is dead. F-E-D-P-U-T, the Fed put. He points to the last two decades when the so-called put hasn't revived equities the way rate cuts did in the 1990s. You know, the two easing cycles of this millennium took place amid severe declines in stocks. And that equity strategist, Francois Trahan, observed that the correlation between the S&P 500's price-earnings ratio and the Fed's fund rate has broken due to the long period of low rates since the early 2000s. When the Fed slashed rates in 2001 and 2008 to salvage the economy from recessions, I should say from its banks, the U.S. equities didn't rally after the rate reductions. In fact, the S&P 500 fell as much as 16% in the 12-month period after the cuts.
But, you know, after the, on the other hand, after the 2000 rate cut, we saw gold rise. I think it was over 54%, but between the 2009 and 2010 period, you know, and that was the highest since the Nixon had ended it in 1971.
You're right. And if actual rate cuts end up having the same effect on bonds and the dollar as the promise of them recently has, then gold and other precious metals, Melody, including silver, could skyrocket. Traders are now pricing in close to 90% of at least one rate cut at the July FOMC meeting, while a September cut, they believe, is almost a done deal. That's according to the CME Fed Watch tool. Meanwhile, stocks which have fully come back from their May turmoil, you know, with the S&P up more than 16% this year so far, about 1% from its all-time high hit in late April, you know, the Dow Jones hit another record high late last week. But unlike in the 1990s when, you know, the S&P 500 PE ratios responded positively to these interest rate changes, they're now behaving very cyclically. And economists mean, you know, take that to mean that they're being driven by leading economic indicators, and that doesn't bode well for stocks, as it suggests that PEs will likely continue to get smaller as long as leading indicators continue to slow. UBS's Trahan said Fed rate cuts are unlikely to change any of this in the near term. Now, gold and silver, that's another story.
Well, you know, you hear the arguments, and you did a great blog the other night on the beginning of the gold rush. And, you know, you can argue, is this the beginning of the gold rush? But the beginning of the gold rush, as I said, actually began in 1933.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is the beginning of the gold rush, but I don't think it plays out the way everybody thinks it usually starts. That doesn't mean we can have some pullbacks. We're always cautious. Perhaps there are some pullbacks, Dave, but it's exciting.
It is. It is. You're right. We can't be sure if this is the beginning of that gold rush. And maybe I, for one, ought to stop using that term because, you know, it implies maybe a rush up the beanstalk to that $5,000 or $6,000 level. And we think at some point it's bound to happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
But we are sure of this, ladies and gentlemen. Waiting too long to buy gold could be costly. And it's always a good time to buy gold and silver as a safe haven long-term investment. But remember, the supply of particularly gold isn't as plentiful today as it was 10 years ago. Call us now.
You're absolutely correct, Dave. And we're going to wake up to a whole different world. 800-375-4188. Thank you, Dave. We'll be back tomorrow. And until then, be safe. Good night.
Bye-bye.
If I got me a wealthy man.